Well, welcome to the Repos non-league show, and we're here for the next hour. Unfortunately, Keith, he's out on the Raz again tonight. He's got a Christmas pie. Lucky for some. He's out with tonight, so he's unfortunately not with us. But we are really pleased to say with us today, of course, is of course John Manny. Sorry, John, the chairman at Bracknell Town. So welcome, John.
Andy, sorry, just been promoted.
Have you been promoted?
John's the manager, Andy's the chairman.
Wrong way round. That's what it is. Sorry, mate. And Andy, of course, the chairman. Apologies. And of course, also join us for Angelo as well. And welcome, Angelo.
Hello, guys. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. And the man with the big promotion, already been knocked on the door for the BBC, doing interviews for BBC, I've seen, and everywhere else. Of course, the main man himself, Lee Anderson. And how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Hi, guys. You all right?
All good. Good to see you, mate.
Good, and
we'll
you?
start with you, Lee, because I know you've got training tonight, and so
Yeah.
we'll just have a quick one with you. So, I mean, I suppose the first question for you, really, I suppose, is how difficult was it that decision to be made by yourself to leave your beloved Hendon?
Yeah, really difficult, obviously. But, as a manager who wants to try and kick on and do well, I mean, you've only got to see what two really good managers on this show in John and Angelo, what they've gone and achieved in this game. You want to try it, and you want to try it at the right club. And I just felt that with Hendon, I've taken them as far as I can. I couldn't take them any further. Financially, it was so difficult for the club, and it was only getting harder and not better. And the opportunity arose, and I felt it was the right time and the right football club to try and move forward. It's a hard job. I've inherited 28 players, and a lot of those boys are on contract. So, we've got to try and move some things around. But it's a really good club. It's a club that I feel is geared up for the next level. But it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And, we've got a, it was such a good result for us on Saturday, just to give us that little bit of breathing space, and try and get a good buzz around the club. But no, look, I'm really enjoying the first week. And the boys have been brilliant so far.
You got a couple, brought what, three of your players over from Hendon so far?
Yeah, I did. There's a lot made of it, whether they'd be good enough or not good enough. Look, I've got full belief in the three boys. I started two of them. I felt that the two boys were the best two players on the pitch on Saturday. And Kai come off the bench. Kai has scored 16 goals this year in step three. So all three boys that I feel are firmly good enough. And I want to create that environment at this football club that we're not just a club that signs players that have been around the block. I want to try and develop young, hungry players and players that want to succeed in this game. And you've only got to look at, people like Scott Davis's recruitment and the way he goes about his business in bringing step three players along with some experienced players. You get a lot of success. So they've got to be the right players, but I felt that they were three boys that deserved the opportunity and three boys that I can feel that will do really well here.
And of course, the rumours aren't true then. You just took the job because you wanted to go down to the British Riviera and have a nice weekend away at Torquay.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I'd rather miss the Torquay game and stay in there. But no, it's a great game to be in. I know Paul Watton really well. He's a very good friend of mine. There'll be 3,500 people there. You want to be involved in them games, and it'll be a great game. They're a very good side, the top of the league for a reason. I just said to the boys, we're training tonight, and there's no pressure going there on Saturday. With the win we've just had, we can go there, enjoy it, and try and pick up some points.
Well, what's the aim, Lee? I mean, for the season,
No, very
coming.
much. Yeah, very much. Make sure we stay up. And then it's a rebuild next year. It is a rebuild. As I said, I've got a lot of players on contract. I've got a lot of players in the football club at the moment. We've got a number of injuries to good players. They're slowly coming back. But yeah, it's very much just to remain in the league and then look to try and grow and push on next year with some hungry players. And try and keep the ones we've got here that want to be at this football club and then move forward from there.
You like those big long travels, though, don't you? You stick with the old Western Super Metro
Yeah,
and pay up.
used to it, with the last couple of years at Hendon, some of the travel we've been doing. I don't listen, if you want to manage at the best levels and be in the league above and whatever, you've got to get used to them journeys, you can't moan about them. You have to embrace them and try and move forward.
So, what's your dad come over with you?
Yeah, I brought Dad over with me. Obviously, his experience is massive. His experience of dealing with some some things that we're doing at the moment is really invaluable to us. Chris Winton, who was at Slough and St Albans, who very, very good coach, and Gary King, who was at Barnet, has been working with Dean Brennan for the last 10 years. Again, a load of experience, and I feel that's crucial to have a good management team around you, especially when you go into the South and progress forward. You need good people around you, and that's important.
Have you sort of spoken to people with experience, people like Anjo, who's been in that league as well? I mean, have you spoken to different people about what to expect from some of these, or did you have a sort of good sort of knowledge of that already?
No, look, I don't know Angelo personally, but I know what a great job he's done. I followed his career over the last 3 or 4 years, and I try and do that. I want to learn from good managers. He's had success at the level. I speak to Paul Watt and I speak to Anders, who knows the level and has been at Slough for a long, long time and doing a great job at Bracknell. So Scotty Davis, I speak to a lot. I speak to a number of managers, and you learn in the league. I've always kept an eye on this league because of where I was at St Albans, and it's a league I've wanted to manage in. I've got the opportunity now, and I've got to try and do well at this football club, and see where it takes us.
Is it a case this year just sort of, you planning to bring more players in? I'm not necessarily from Hendon, but from different areas to try and strengthen up a little bit more. Or is it a case of you've almost got to sort of get people out before you can bring people in?
A bit of both. I think every player at the football club deserves an opportunity. We're not walking into a club with sort of 8 games to go and you've got to win 3 or 4 of them. We've got 20, 24 games to go. So it's an opportunity to give everyone 2 or 3 games to have a look. I'm still openly looking in the market to bring in the right players. But again, we have to move players on as well, and that's where it's proving to be a little bit difficult at the moment. And, but we'll work through that, and hopefully we can bring in some boys to just to freshen it up. I felt the three Hendon boys, give us a real good boost on Saturday. But as I say, there's some really good players out there. But I just want to work with hungry players. I want to work with people that want to be here. I want to work with people that want to run hard and develop and, can handle the ball well. And I think if we get that right, we can do well. But, like anything, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a project here that we're trying to build, and the chairman's fully supportive of it. But it's going to take time. So at the moment, it's just being in games, making sure we try and win as many as we can, get through the season, and then build from there.
I take it. I know the last time we spoke about some long journeys, it wasn't that the missus weren't too enamoured of going to them. So you've already got a booked in for Torquay.
Yeah, she'll be driving down there.
Yeah,
Look, she's my biggest supporter, so she's got no choice. She'll be driving down there with a little one and Carly. So, like, look, they're very supportive. They really enjoy it, and it's nice for me to have people around us that are there supporting you as well, because I'm a family man, and I want to embrace it and bring them with me.
you're not going to start using any of these James Bond bits and bobs, are you? James Bond lines in the dressing room?
No, I'll leave that to Nonny. He can do them ones. That's for him. No, I haven't used any of them yet. And I'll probably try and steer clear of them. The players will look at me like I'm mad. So, but no, as I say, the players have been brilliant so far. So it's just keeping it going.
Happy days. Listen, Lee, I know you're really busy tonight, so I really
Thank
appreciate
you, mate.
the 5 10 minutes that you've come on. So we'll let you go because I know it's
Thank you.
you're getting ready to go down
Hey,
to.
all the best, mate.
We wish
No,
you all the
thank
very
you.
best.
No, I wish you all the best as well, guys. And hopefully, Andrew, I see you at the top club soon, mate.
Definitely. Thanks, mate.
Cheers,
Cheers.
mate. All the
Speak to
best,
you
bub.
after
Take
Christmas,
care,
Lee.
mate.
See you later,
See you,
mate.
guys.
See you,
Thank
mate.
you. Bye-bye. Bye.
See you, mate. Bye. I mean, that is some promotion for him, though, isn't it? From Hendon, from into Hemel Hempstead. I mean, it's a big club to go into.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think he's done a really good job at Step Three, and as he said, like he wouldn't probably speak too much on Hendon, but I know from speaking to him that he really could take it. He couldn't really take it any further with the setup at the club there. But he's a young, ambitious manager. I think he's been involved at. He was involved at St Albans when his dad was there as an assistant, so he knows the league. So yeah, he's been talked about for that kind of job, and I think it's good. I think it's good that a club have taken a young manager from a level below rather than just sort of the same ones that do the circuit kind of thing. So no, good luck to him. I spoke to Lee Ender last week. I get on really well with him, and I want him to do really well. I saw his results Saturday and was really pleased for him, so hopefully he can continue the good work.
Bit of an away trip though, Angelo, isn't it? All the way down to Torquay.
Yeah, it is a long trip, but it's one that I think all the managers and all the players are excited about. He's playing in front of 3, 4,000 people, You know, it's a good game for him. It's for me, it's a bit of a free spin for him on Saturday. A potential banana skin for Torquay as well. So I'm sure all the players and himself are really excited by it.
Didn't get the chance to ask him, but I mean, there's two games coming up very, very quickly after that that I bet he's buzzing for and really looking forward to, of course. And one of them is at home to St Albans on Boxing Day, and then on the 4th of January at home to Boreham Wood.
Yeah, those sort of Christmas local derbies are big games. And I know, yeah, Hemel St Albans is quite a rivalry, I understand. And I guess Boreham Wood as well now just up the road. So, yeah, I think if he gets anything at Torquay and has some good results over Christmas, he'll be a hero there already. So, yeah, there's some great games to look forward for him. And no disrespect to the level he was managing at, and I'm managing at that same level, no disrespect at all. But when you jump up, it's a big jump up, and you play some big grounds and some big clubs. And Angelo, no, making that step on one further. It's another big step, isn't it? Going to the National League, and some of the clubs in there are huge, and the money in there is huge. So, yeah, every level is a big step up.
And of course, he finishes the season at home to Torquay as well, which could be quite interesting on the 26th. So that'd be
Yeah.
interesting. He actually finishes with almost exactly the same fixtures as what he's got now, but in the opposite order. He's got Boreham Wood away, Chesham at home, St Albans away, and Torquay at home.
Yeah.
That's some finish.
Nice.
Those are the games, at the end of the day, the opportunities come about, and those are the games you want to push yourself on for, to be able to get that exposure in and go and prove yourself and go and cut your teeth in the new league. So yeah, wish him all the best.
Andrew, I mean, of course, to Braintree for some time, and then I think quite a lot of us were quite shocked to see your departure from there. And I mean, it was well, shock for us. It must have been an even bigger shock for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I could spend all night talking about what's happened and everything else, but I had 2.5 seasons at Braintree and loved every minute of my time there. It was always difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. It was difficult in terms of the resources, but I'm also, really happy that they gave me the opportunity. A manager that came from Sudbury at step four, and had no expectation when I first arrived. And 2.5 seasons later, we're in the National League, playing against your Oldhams and some fantastic teams in that league. It's a really, really fantastic league. For me, that's League Three, and I've loved every minute.
So was you around when he was at Sudbury then? Did you have the joy of being with the rogue Mark Morsey?
Yeah, I actually played under Mark Morsley at two different clubs. I played under him at Leiston and also Needham Market, and I had a very, very good relationship with Mark, to be honest. I think, like every player, as long as the manager likes you and you get on with them, you always think quite highly of them, and we had a good relationship. So, but I love my time at Sudbury. I absolutely loved it. I had a fantastic chairman. For me, the club is at least a National South club in terms of their facilities and set up. You've only got to look at the players that they've brought through, and your Josh Stokes, your Liam Bennett, they've produced so many good players, and that's massive credit to their youth, and they've got the foundations to move on. So yeah, I love my time there, and that's where I got my opportunity to go to Braintree from.
That's a fantastic ground as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. The facilities are, as good as any team in probably the National League. They're fantastic facilities, all brand new. And it got some good people working behind the scenes as well.
I just one question to ask you guys, and it's a question to ask people that are sort of in the know with football and so forth, because I know I've got my opinions, and it's not necessarily non-league, but I just want to find out what your thoughts of it are. Have you ever known a manager to only get one win in 11 at a top club and still being featured at the club?
We talking about Pep Guardiola here or not?
Yeah, and it's not just because I'm an arse. I'm just curious whether or not. Andy, if John lost, John only won one in 11, will he still be in the job? Do you know what I mean? It's
Don't
crazy.
answer that, Andy. Don't
I
answer
know
that John's too good to not have that situation happen, so we wouldn't have.
that.
I
But
think Pep. I think Pep's probably bought himself a little bit extra time. What he's done over the last few years, I think everyone's got their view on him, like the money he's been able to spend and all that. But I think you speak to, not that I do, but speak to anyone at the top end of the game, you hear them talking, they all, they hold him in such high regard. I think he's obviously a fantastic coach as well. So I think he'll get a little bit more time than most.
Think it's the beauty of football, isn't it? He has been at that top of the mountain for such a long time, and it just shows that one little slip and you can fall down quite a bit. And that will probably challenge him in reassessing how he plays and everything that he does. But he has, like you say, the record that he's got as and the football that he's produced and how he's sort of evolved the game is, I think it's given him, he's probably got a bit more time than other. Maybe like unfortunately that at Southampton that gets the team promoted but doesn't finds us such a massive challenge that the football club are now looking for something different. And again, I suppose that's football, but be interested to see how many more defeats he gets because it doesn't look like it's going to change.
I think it's quite good for football, to be honest. Man City have been winning the league and your Champions Leagues, and it just shows it could happen to any football and any manager, but I definitely think he's got enough in the bank to remain in that job. I don't see you getting any better at Manchester City, but it's good to see you Pep Guardiola going through a tough time as probably in my opinion the best manager in the world. So it can happen to all of us.
Exactly.
But the fact is, they always say, don't they, between him, they say he's the best Premier League manager, but could you have seen someone like Alex Ferguson say, for instance, it wouldn't have happened to him, would it? One win in 11.
I don't know. I don't know whether I don't know what his worst run was, Sir Alex. But I think as Angelo said, I think it's a good thing for football in general. You don't want one team dominating. I think nobody saw this coming. I certainly didn't. I watch City now. They look a completely different team, a shadow of the team they were. But I think that, just apart from the manager, you look at the players and there's some top players there really struggling with form. And again, they're just human. They're human, just the same as step three, step two players. They can go through bad spells and they're all having a bad spell together. I've got no doubt they'll turn it around, but whether they'll do that in time, I don't know, because Liverpool are looking strong, as Andy will be smiling about.
I think that just credits. You look at that top half of the Premier League, and there are so many good teams in there, and the quality of the Premier League has gone on. And you look at Fergie, and but he was only in two horse races. So that's the difference now, that the standard of so many teams is so strong now in that Premier League that, and again, it is the best league in the world. And I think that, like you say, you could, I was lucky enough to go to the Southampton Liverpool game a few weeks ago, and Liverpool were fortunate to win that, and Southampton are bottom of the league. And it showed you that there's not many leagues like that, but how the exposure and the people like Pep and Jurgen and Mourinho in the past and et cetera, have really just driven the Premier League and the football in the UK, which again ultimately has improved the quality of the standard of non-league football as well. So I think this country is in an amazing position in regards to the football you can see, from the top levels down into the non-league system. And that's why there's so much interest and stuff in it now. And we have an international section where we have people from around the world that want to come here to the UK and come and play football. And I think that's credit to, all of us and all of the people in the game to, because it is such a great game.
Andrew, so I mean, sort of leaving Braintree and stuff. Where do you see yourself getting back in? And have you sort of looked at it now and think, Struth, it's difficult to get back in because it feels to me like it has got to that sort of situation now where there's so many managers, really, really good managers in non-league level, and that are out of jobs. I mean, are you looking at certain levels that you want to get yourself back in? Are you looking at, Vanarama Prem, or are you looking at sort of maybe step two, step three to try and get back in?
Yeah, I think the first thing for me was is to have a little break. I've managed Braintree for 2.5 seasons. It's been very, very intense. I live and breathe every minute of it. As soon as we got promotion against Worthing in the final, the next day I was back working. I was the manager of Braintree, but I was also, opening the club, locking the club. It was a big, big job there. And I'm sure the management team that are there now realise that as well. So I was running all aspects of the football club, and I was happy to do that. But for me, it did take a lot out of me as well. And I just want to recharge my batteries, make sure that, that I take the right job. It's so important. I don't want to be in a similar situation. I want to make sure that, whatever club I go to, has the same beliefs as myself, and it's the right move because, I'm someone that takes this profession very seriously, and I want to progress and hopefully one day, like all managers, be in the league. So it was a disappointing end to Braintree, but also very, very proud. We was competitive. I mean, two seasons ago when I took over at Braintree, we played Epsfleet, and it was like playing Manchester City. We lost 5-0, and there was a massive gulf in class. Two seasons later, we play Epsfleet, and in my opinion, we were by far the stronger team, and that shows how far and the team and the club have come. So it's about taking the positives of the job that I'd done at Braintree, and was there things that could be different and change? 100%. But I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot this season, and I'll be looking to take that into my next job. But I definitely won't rush into it. There's been offers already for me to go into clubs, but I want to make sure that it's right. And I firmly believe that I don't want to rush into it.
You don't want to be travelling down to Southampton or Wolves then, no?
I probably would do that, to be fair, for them, Jazz. But yeah, I think it's really easy, to post on Twitter and say I've got a new football club and hurry things along. But, it's not about that little bit of fame on social media that I'm back in football. It needs to be right. It needs to be the right club for me to get really excited about. And that's not being arrogant or big-headed. I just want to make sure that I give myself the best platform and chance to be successful.
Is that club then? When you go for these jobs, I mean, is it a case of when speaking to the chairman and maybe the rest of the committee when you go in for these interviews? I mean, is it a case of listening to what they've got to say as much as what you've got to say to try and see if they match what your ethos is?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Braintree, if they would have said to me, you do the job for nothing, I would have done it. I was a manager at step four that just wanted to be in the National South. I'm sure there's plenty of managers out there that would do the same. And I was so eager to get the job. But, I just want to go to a club that has got the foundations to progress. I think it's so easy just to panic and jump into a new job. And that comes with experience. So I've had, what, 2 weeks now, and I've watched games, and I've got, like Lee, got some really good people that I can lean on. Your Dean Brennan's that I've gone and watched, your Cowley's, really good contacts now. So I just want to make sure that I give myself a little bit of time to have a break, and then hit the ground running at a new football club.
I mean, with the Braintree, I mean, what was some of your highlights? Well, I mean, tell us some of the highlights when you were there. Was it that promotion final against Worthing?
Yeah, it was. I think the biggest highlight for me was, the playoff games, obviously. But the year before that, it's crazy, really. We played Worthing in the first playoff in my first year, when everyone predicted us to be relegated, and that was an amazing sort of night for me to get into the playoffs. And the feeling I had the second time around was totally different. I was so eager to get the boys really hyped up in the playoffs, and so much passion and drive from myself. And the second game, when we played a season late, it was totally different, really relaxed. For us to play good football and positive football, I can't have all the players as hyped up as I was. So it was just such a different feel. And I had complete faith in my team to win that playoff game. I looked at the players that we had, I looked at the players that they had, and I actually felt, player by player, we were the stronger team. And I put that belief in the team. We stayed the night before. Our preparation was fantastic. And what a final it was. I mean, I don't think you'll get a much better final than that. And I think it was really good for the National South as well. I think it was, it showed everyone what a great league it is. And for us to win the playoffs, three games, Bath at home, exceptional game. Chelmsford, who we got, beat to twice, 3-0 on Boxing Day and New Year's Day. which ruined my whole Christmas. And then, you know, to go and beat Worthing, it was an amazing journey.
I mean, those National South playoffs, Angelo, to win those is obviously some achievement. Like, what six, there's always six top teams in it, and I think you just said like the teams you had to play against and the pressure of that final game. I think they're just now. I watched that from the league below, but I know I was in it involved briefly with Slough. We played Dartford in the year. It was the year when COVID hit. We actually played them in July, I think it was, behind closed doors, so you didn't get that atmosphere. But like I say, I know from being in and around that league that the quality of those games is top. And I remember your game there. It was a fantastic achievement. You properly earn it to win those playoffs, don't you? To be the one team out of six that goes up.
I mean, you know, Braintree get a lot of stick from a, you know, a lot of people, but in terms of their fans, you know, fans were, I say their fans, our fans, it still feels like my club. The fans were just outstanding from minute one. And to see them, you know, we took such a good following and the celebrations and everyone running on the pitch. And, you know, another proud moment for me is obviously, you know, Braintree are going to be playing Dagenham, Redbridge and Southend game at home. You know, they're talking about selling it out 4,000 people. Who would have ever dreamt of that at Braintree 2.5 seasons ago? And I take big, you know, pride in that. You know, Braintree were, in my opinion, very fortunate to be in the South. You know, they were going to get relegated during the co you know during COVID, and my aim was to, or my first aim was to get a win under my belt in the South, and then we end up, you know, being in the National League. And when you play away games in the National League, you realise, you know, how far behind we are as a football club. You know, there's no reserves, there's no 23s, there's no 18s, there's no college system. There's no women's program. You know, and you're going away to your Oldham with 15, you know, groundsmen waiting to go on the pitch. You know, it just shows you sort of, you know, how far we are behind. But hopefully, you know, Braintree can enjoy the ride this year and ultimately stay up.
The game was actually filmed as well, wasn't it? Wasn't it in that documentary I saw just recently? Was in that one, wasn't it?
The final you're talking about? It was on it was on BT Sport, which was great. Again, great platform. And you know, last year we had a really good side, and we tried to keep, you know, the core, the spine. But you know, players are going to Sutton, players are going to Dagenham and Redbridge, and you know, I don't know the finances, but I know that they were getting some really good deals. And again, it's something that we can be proud of. Did we want to keep them 100%? We wanted to build around it, but you know, you've got some big clubs coming in for your players. You look at that playoff final, I think there was 25 clubs watching, and however many more were there, but it was also televised, so you know, they got to see the talent that was on show.
And I mean the players now as well. I mean, even in the likes of your league, John Andy. I mean, some of the players that are playing in your league is just mind blowing because you just wouldn't have had it years ago, would you?
Yeah, we came up against Charlie Austin this season so far, which was a player of his, and it was only probably 3 or 4 years ago. I think he was at QPR, something like that. So there's some big clubs at our level in our division. Same in the Isthmian Prem where Lee's just come out of, and there's some well-backed, well-financed clubs, and I think those players, where maybe they wouldn't have looked at playing that level in the past, they now actually see it as a still a good standard of football to play in. And of course, there's a financial element to it as well, but I don't think some of those players would drop to those late leagues if it wasn't proper football and it was done well and decent pitches and decent people involved. So it's all kind of filtered down, hasn't it, from the top over the years. I think these leagues just get stronger and stronger.
I mean,
Been
you're.
Yeah, some of the younger players as well. Do you know what I mean? The opportunities that now that you know people can go and test themselves and put themselves up against ex-Premier League players and high quality players, which again, you know, if they shine and they do well, then they know that the opportunity is going to be there for them to be able to progress as well. So I think it works both ways. You know, when you get to players that are stepping down into, you know, step two, step three football, and then obviously, you know, those younger ones that are then come through it. I think it's a great combination. But you're right, like you say, the facilities and the quality of football is why they're stepping down. And like I say, those opportunities for young players, I think, is outstanding for them to be able to go and test themselves against players that have played in massive, massive games.
With your league, though, I mean, has there been any surprises this year for you?
in our league.
Teams wise.
I think the teams at the top end right now are probably the ones that most people would expect to be there. I think Merthyr are flying, but you know, Merthyr were very good at this stage last year and they fell away a little bit. But we played them the other week. They're an outstanding football team and they've been building for over 3 or 4 years now. Manager Paul Michael's done a really good job there and they play, like I said, really attractive football. They're going ever so well. They had a 6-1 win at the weekend. I think Tottenham are the ones that everybody probably expects to be up there because everyone knows they're very, very well financed. That's where Charlie Austin is and other good, you know, players that have played at a high level. Haven't, obviously, who were a National League team not long ago, then National South, and now they're in our league. I think I've got the league table up because I didn't want to get it wrong. They're fourth. So, yeah, there's some good sides. Gloucester, who were a National North side. So there's some good sides up the top end. It's a real close fight from about fifth down to sort of 15th, 16th. There's a lot of teams that probably in the bottom half at the moment that might expect to be higher and will probably be looking for a run after Christmas. I think it's going to be really tight. We seem to have sat in the same position for about the last 6 weeks. Whether we win, lose or draw, we just seem to be just outside the playoffs with a couple of games in hand, and we still are. And it's been a bit frustrating recently that we haven't been able to jump that extra step and get into those playoff positions. But we're in December. There's plenty of time.
And you say, you just said yourself, when you look at those teams that are in there, I mean, Merthyr are absolutely flying and you've got Tottenham just underneath, as you said. But you've got teams like Walton and Hersham in there. And then, you're sitting in there in eighth. But you mentioned Paul Michael earlier, just a minute ago. And I'd love to have been a fly on the wall with his game at the weekend and just to find out what he actually said to him at half time, because I don't know if Angelo know, they were losing 1-0 at half time and then end up winning 6-1.
I don't know what he said, but I could do a bit of that myself. I 6-1, Jesus.
I have got his number. I get on well with him. I might just
ask him. Yeah, I was going to call him and ask him. Yeah, I've got his number.
That one at the weekend. Yeah.
But it's something Shaolin as well, wasn't it? I think they scored two really late goals. One of them scored by the keeper as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they got two in injury time, I think, to win. So they beat us the previous week. They're on a little bit of a high at the moment. They've signed a few players. Everyone can beat each other in the league, and it's actually hard to. No one's really through that middle section of the table putting a winning run together. I think it's so hard. If you're one up in a game, the teams just throw everything at you, and they don't lay down, they don't die, and you do see a lot of goals and a lot of late goals and late turnarounds. So I think it's going to be one of those seasons where teams just keep beating each other. You'll probably get a few pull away at the top, but I think that middle pack are gonna be sort of jostling for position all season.
I mean, Andy, tell us a little bit about the club. I mean, has there been a bit of changes at the top level over the last season? Because I know Louis was involved at one stage and his dad. I mean, has there been some changes in the club? And talk to us a little bit about the club in general.
Yeah, so I have taken over officially in August as the full owner and chairman and now CEO of the club. And so, yeah, quite a lot of changes have happened since the start of the season or from the close period. I was in conversations with Kane and especially as the previous owner for about a year ago is when we first started talking. So, you know, he'd been involved with the club for 10 years and taking it from step six up to pushing for potentially for step two status, obviously losing a playoff final to Truro a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, the club have moved, but improved their facilities significantly. So, you know, the vision we've really got now as the takeover and the new vision is to, you know, to try and take it that next step further. You know, Bracknell's never been in the National League system and, you know, we want to push for that Vanarama status as well as sort of building everything around it. I think Angelo was talking in regards to, you know, the structure of the club and, you know, we're looking to do things. The evolution we want is to promote through the younger players because I think we have a fantastic platform there to provide opportunity for good hungry young players, but also have good facilities and good coaching and a good structure to the club. So I'm still new in the door really, as obviously John is having joined us in September. So every day is a learning experience for me as a new chairman of a football club. But I think it's a football club that has really sort of put itself on the map over the last few years, and it has the capability of going even further. And that's, That's my vision and that's my sort of my own KPI and what John and I are working towards with the rest of the team and to see how we can do that. Yeah, like John just said, that our league this year is very, very competitive. I think at the start of the season, if you look through those teams, there's probably the top half you could see potentially win the league or get promoted. But there's obviously only going to be two teams that are going to be get promoted this year. So therefore, it's going to show how competitive and how strong it is. And yeah, we're looking forward to the challenge.
How long do you think it'll be before they change that up, sort of two up? Do you think they ever will change it to maybe three up?
I think the issue with that is that because of the significant demand of going into that Vanarama National League system, I think they're probably skeptical that will clubs go up and really, really struggle. And I think what's been, with the system as it is, A, the interest of those playoffs and how it keeps so many clubs interested, is something that the league obviously really like and all of those leagues at that level. But facilities, expenditure and financial costs is obviously going to be significantly more by stepping up to that level. So I personally don't think they'll change it, but I think only if there's a consistent amount of good, strong teams that are capable of doing it. And that's probably going to have to be looked at, average crowds and sort of financial sort of figures to see whether they're going to be strong enough to be able to sustain moving up to those levels.
Still got of course, you've got 4G as well, isn't it? 3G, 4G pitch as well.
Yeah, which is fantastic. We obviously having had that down for just over, it came in August last year, so it's our second season with it. And that's great for us as a club. It's great for us as a within the community as well. We're sort of outreach into A, the youth section that we have, but then obviously some neighbouring youth sections and stuff. So yeah, it's a hugely positive thing for us as a club, and I think that allows it to become sustainable. It allows there to be good generation of income into a club on a consistent basis. So whether that is a clubs have that as a main pitch, or they have it, have one additionally alongside them within their facilities, I think is so important. And again, we all know that, look, go down to the grassroots level, and my son plays in grassroots, and but no fault of anyone's, when that's all down to volunteers and equipment, and someone's got to mark the pitch and cut it, et cetera, et cetera. Those costs are astronomical, and better facilities for young players and kids to be able to train and play on, in my opinion, is the way forward. For them to be able to understand the fundamentals of the game, receiving the ball, passing the ball, and having a consistency within that ball and stuff. So for us as a club, it's been huge, and yeah, I think it's something that more and more clubs will look towards with the way the FA is backing that as well.
So have you got a guy, I mean, guys, you got sort of like youth ranks and under 23s and stuff like that, ladies teams in the club as well?
Yeah, so we have a youth section that is very, very competitive and doing really well. And then from there, we have an under 18s, under 23s, and then the first team. So we feel like we've got a really nice sort of stepping stone for young players to be able to progress and develop as they're sort of ready. At the moment, we don't have a women's section, but that is high on our agenda to do that. We would love to be adding that in for the 25-26 season. And like I said earlier, we also have an international section. So, we have players from around the world that come to stay with us, have a football experience and educationally, do some stuff with us. So we're looking at things a little bit differently in regards to, where we can find new talent from. And also that massively benefits the college scheme and the academy section that we have to, do something a little bit different, and provide sort of a unique environment for players to learn, progress and develop, and then get new life skills and stuff like that as well.
I mean, John, when you came in September, I mean, what was your sort of goal? When you spoke to Andy and the board, I mean, what sort of made you look at it and go, that yep, this is the club for me?
Well, I mean, it's a club. I actually very briefly managed the club a long, long time ago. I played for the club, so I've got a real connection with the club anyway. It's 15 minutes from my house, and There's a lot of, it ticked a lot of boxes already. Obviously, knowing Andy, I've known Andy for a number of years. So going in to work for somebody who you know and trust and have a relationship with is important. I'm ambitious. I've managed in the National Southwest Slough. I want to get back to that level. I'd love to do that with Bracknell. That's the aim. When the club is ready and when the time is right, you know, obviously you go into any season wanting to do it in that season, and we're not too far off the playoffs. So I've been promoted via playoffs before, and I'd love to do it again. If it's not this year, then we look at it again and go again next year. I think what's really key for me and what attracted me to the way Andy's going about things is that it's going to be sustainable. You know, Andy's not in here for a, you know, throw pots of money at it and disappear in a season if it doesn't work. You know, I think Andy's here to do the right things off the pitch, grow the club. And that's attractive to me. I don't want to be looking for another club in a year's time. I spent 9.5 years when I was at Slough, and I'm up for another long stint somewhere and have some success. And I think Andy's very much the same. So I think we kind of fit well together, hopefully. When I first came in the door, being honest, the first job was to try and patch up the squad a little bit, because as much as the club were doing, you know, we're in a reasonable position, you know, the squad was a little bit decimated as I came in. A few players had left after the previous manager went, which often happens at a club. And there was a bit of work to do, you know, in particularly probably the top end of the pitch. We lost three centre forwards in the week before I came in. So we were very light in terms of it. I think the team that they put out just before I came in had about seven defenders in the team. So we've been pretty solid. Apart from the odd game, we've been pretty solid. But what we're trying to do is add a few more goals to the team. So yeah, my aim has been to try and keep us in sight of playoffs. I think I said to Andy in that first week, if we can get to January and be in touch, you know, I think we'll be stronger as a team in January than we were in September, and I still believe that. I think we're growing all the time. So yeah, if we can be in with a shout, we all know there's always a team that has a good run the second half of the season and hits the playoffs in form. So that's the aim, is for that to be us. But there's probably 10 other teams thinking exactly the same.
I mean, with it, and I suppose the question for Angelo as well, with it as well, when you've got like an under 23s, under 18s, are you one of those managers that wants them to play the same system as the first team, or do you just allow the managers to, you know, just give them, maybe have a chat with these sort of managers at the 18s, 23s, but they can play the system or the way they want to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, I think it's absolutely crucial to have, you know, a homegrown player coming through, hopefully getting into the first team. You know, I look at Josh Stokes at Sudbury. You know, he's a fan's favourite when he first come in, a young boy. You know, got his chance at Sudbury, done well, and then obviously got his move, which was amazing. But I do think with the youth coaches, you need to invest your time with them. And also, I do think it works if you're following the same system, because, you know, could things change very quickly on a Friday night? You might make the call, and they need to be involved on a Saturday, and it doesn't half help if you're all going to, you know, the same way. But you also want to, you know, not be too strict with the youth coaches. You want them to use their different styles of managing and coaching as well. So I guess it's that balance between, you know, letting them be their own managers and also a way of playing as a football club as well. You know, unfortunately, I didn't have that at Braintree. At Sudbury, we did. And I just think as well, you know, you look at how many good youth players are coming through, and you can sell them as well. You know, and there's good money in the college systems, and there's always one or two that come through and make it into the first team. The biggest challenge I had in terms of at Braintree is if there was a player injured and you needed them to get back fit, there was nowhere that they could go. You know, there was no they needed to get fitness by training, and then you'd throw them in on a Saturday for the last 5 minutes, or the other option is you send them out on loan. So having that foundation and structure for the club is absolutely crucial.
John,
Yeah, it was a real surprise to me, Angelo, when you said you didn't have that where you were at Braintree. That is a club at that level. Yeah, can't imagine how hard that is. I probably take it for granted a little bit to have that pool of players you can dip into, or like you said, if someone needs a game, you can drop them into that side. Yeah, I think David, your first question was about like that sort of same system throughout the teams. I
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, I do. I definitely understand. Obviously, the thinking, the logic behind that. Let's say you're playing a 3-5-2, and your left wing back goes down, and you've got the one in the 23s who's being coached the same way. So of course that makes sense. I think in reality that sometimes can be difficult. I think I guess it depends as well as a first team manager whether you've got one system that you stick to, and some managers do. Some managers will only play one way. We've been fairly consistent in our shape, but I also know there'll be games I want to go slightly different. And so I think if you want to be that rigid, I think that might not always work for you if you're trying to impose a rigid system throughout the club. But no, I think our 18s and 23s are going to be hugely important to us. I know, obviously, just before we came in, Andy, that we had two players last season that moved on at the end of last season that have come through the system. Hayden Vaughan, who went to Aldershot, and Ralph Figrass, who went to Dagenham. So that's two players jumping from step three to step one. We've actually got Hayden back on loan with us from Aldershot at the moment, which is great. And he's a real fan's favourite because he's a local boy that came through the system. So, yeah, our aim, myself and Andy, is to find more of those. And those players are out there, some really talented players in the area. So we want to make our club the one they all want to be at. And we're working on that kind of pathway at the moment, make it as strong as it can be and as attractive as it can be. And yeah, I want to have that pool of young players to choose from. I think, like we said, the supporters get behind those local players, and that's what we're looking to do.
If you
I think,
get go on,
sorry, I
Andy.
think it does take time though, and again, this is a long-term vision that I personally got. And there's the realization, we all know that it's very different playing under 18s and under 23s football as it is going stepping into first team football. So I think that there's it's not always about your playing philosophy, but it can be your coaching styles, it can be your graphics on the pitch in regards to how you communicate to those players, and sort of the language that can be used throughout a club that can be consistent for players to be able to learn and develop and understand. And I think that again, having a good standard of that is really good, but also whether you can get that good relationship with another first team, i.e., because first team football is so important and it is different. Going and winning 3 points or fighting for 3 points on a Saturday is different to being in a 23s league or playing in an under 18, strong 18s, league. So it's a real balance, and it takes time, but that comes with a good structure, a good vision, and then obviously everyone buying into that as well, which just takes a little bit of time. But again, if you can get it right, then, like you say, it becomes a fantastic pathway for players to be able to progress and develop, and also like you said, having the opportunity of putting a couple of players into the 23s that need 60 minutes potentially on a Tuesday night to be ready for Saturday is makes a huge difference when you can control that environment. If you're putting them into a first team on loan that you don't have full control of, and they're desperate for a point or 3 points, and they keep a player of yours on for an extra 10, 15 minutes, that's not always the best for you. But that's how you've got to try and manage those situations. But yeah, I just think it's going to take us a little bit of time, but we're getting the right foundations there at the club. And yeah, it's exciting to see how we can sort of build that behind the scenes, while John's obviously getting to work with the first team stuff.
I've seen quite a few bits this season where league clubs have come in or Vanarama clubs have come in and actually in the Premier, so Vanarama Prem's come in and taken players away from sort of step three, step four clubs, even step five club as well. Of course, if you think of Kone down at Athletic Newham, has gone to Wickham. How sort of tempted are you guys to know if you've all of a sudden got these clubs sort of sniffing around one of your players, and 9 times out of 10 the chairman doesn't know, the secretary does, or somebody will know because they have to get the permission to come down and scout, et cetera, et cetera. Are you then sort of tempted to, as a manager or as a chairman, to actually then try and put that guy on contract so that all of a sudden then when they do come down and start sniffing around, you can actually ask for a bit of dosh for the guy rather than just walking out the door for nothing?
So, interest. So, with the college education aligned academies that sort of exist around the country now, you're not actually able to contract a player that's on one of those programs. So Ralph and Hayden were both on our academy education football program. With the timing of probably my takeover and the that sort of transitional period, we're probably in a little bit of a pre of a position where there was a bit of uncertainty probably for those players or players in general with, you know, when a takeover is happening. You know, but moving forward, we definitely want to be looking at how we can you know, offer contracts to younger players that have potential. But on the flip side of that, I think it's important, as much as you want your own football club to be successful, you have a duty of care for young players. So creating the right environment for them, creating the right opportunities for them, but also I wouldn't want to stand in a young player's way, you know. So I think that realistically, the scenario of Hayden and Ralph wouldn't really be us gaining any major financial gain from Aldershot or Dagenham, realistically, for two lads that had 12 starts and 9 starts in the second half of the season last year. But you know, maybe they would be if they'd have stayed with us and they end up got 50 sort of first team appearances under their belt. But I think realistically, you probably look at the situation that Maidenhead have obviously found themselves in the summer. And that's probably the more attractive opportunity that you want to look at, right? Is that, you know, you get a selling fee at a higher end. And when a player is looking at a 40 million transfer, you know, you're deciding, do you want to hold out 20% or are you quite happy to take 10%? And, you know, I think that's probably where it becomes more exciting or more significantly beneficial for a club of where we are right now than it does, you know, maybe getting a couple of grand for an 18, 19-year-old or something like that. I think, again, and if the opportunity is right for that player, you want them. And if we are not in a position to necessarily offer that right now in regards to, you know, we're right at the top of that league and looking for promotion, you want to ensure that they're going to the right club and the right environment. And so there's a bit of a balance when you're looking at it. Ethically, emotionally, and financially, really, as a football club owner now.
Andrew, have you ever had that with yours? Any of your players where someone might have come in from and you're thinking about putting them on contract?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, you know, you have to agree with our chairman. You know, when we went up through the playoffs, I think we had two players under contract. And that's difficult because, like, you know, we all want to progress and have a good relationship with our players as well. You look at Joe Greenwood, for example. I took him from Sudbury, which I know really hurt Sudbury at the time. You know, and I get on really well with the chairman as well, and we take him to Braintree, and then he moves on again, goes to Barnet. And at that time, you know, we got minimal money for him, and it's obviously, you know, painful because it's hard to replace someone of Joe's caliber, and especially the money he was on as well. But you know, he is a friend as well, and you want him to do well. So it's really difficult. You know, with over the 2 seasons, we had lots of players come and go. I think we lost seven of our squad who started every week in the first season. But you know, I think you've got to take pride in that when your players are moving on to bigger and better things as well.
Would you agree, John?
Yeah, I think as a manager, you want to be seen as someone who wants to help people on their way and get them up the ladder. I think, and I spoke to Andy about this the other day, I think my view on it is that depending on who the club is coming in and the level they're at, you know, what I wouldn't want to do is lose a player to another club in our league for an extra 100 quid a week. That's what I'd want to stop happening, you know, them going to a rival for a bit extra money. But if it was a National South or a National League club, or obviously a Football League club, you want to see those players move on. So, yeah, I think you know, a contract which isn't there to hold back the player. It's not like you're holding a club to ransom. You know, you want to get a little bit because you've developed that player, whether it's a sell on or a friendly or whatever that may be. But ultimately, I think if you're a club and a manager and a chairman that helps players climb the ladder, and you know, you then become more attracted to the next good young player that comes along. So it's a bit of a sales tool for your own club if you do it right.
So I suppose one last question, because again, it's a question I don't know. But I mean, we're talking about sort of sell-on clauses and that in people's contracts, and you can get lucky like Maidenhead did, etc. But how with the actual sell-on clause in there, is that from, say, I don't know, you sell your player from your club A to club B, but you only get a sell-on clause when they move to club C, or is there something you can put in a contract that if they move to club D and club E, you still get a sort of sell-on clause on that as well?
Yeah, so you can instigate scenarios of basically future sell-on clauses. Realistically, someone like that, you're going to probably want, you're not going to get a massive chunk of that as that first happens. And then it is down to you as the football club to keep on top of that, because you don't get clubs D and E ringing you up saying, "Oh, by the way, I think you've got a contract that you've got to chase that. You've got to be on top of that yourself." But you can do it, and I think realistically, like you said, as that goes up the ladder, you're probably going to take a smaller percentage. But yeah, it is feasible. But you're relying on good knowledge, good remembering which players you've had and where they've gone, and then see probably good secretary that's on top of it to get that email in to say, "Oh, we've got a contract here that states this." So yeah. But yeah, it is possible, but it does come down to you guys as a club to be on top of that.
If we've got a 10% on a £100 million contract, you have a bit
Yeah.
of money. That'd come in
Agreed.
handy, wouldn't it? Listen, guys, it's been fantastic. Time has run away from us, so apologies. And it's been fantastic talking to you guys, learning a lot more from yourself, Angelo, and of course also as well, Bracknell as well. So it's fantastic to learn a bit more about the club, and really do hope that you get that playoff place, and you sneak yourself in there in a really tough league. And by the sounds of things, you've got everything running in the right direction, and hopefully you'll get in there and you'll get one of those places in that playoff
Thank you.
places, and then hopefully even get to see you in June at the presentation evening as well, wherever it's going to be this year. We'll find out when we get there. But what I should say to you guys is a Merry Christmas. I hope you have a lovely one, and a Happy New Year as well. And to everybody that's watching as well, a Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year. We'll be back on the first Monday in January now, and with the next show from the Repos Non-League Show. A massive Merry Christmas as well to our sponsors, Repos, as well, and keeping up the good work with them as well over Christmas time. But a massive thank you to John, to Andy, to Angelo, and of course to Lee as well for tonight. And thank you to you for watching, and from me and from the guys. Good night.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.